Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have our February open line on this Valentine's Day, a chance for you to suggest programs for the 9 to 11 hours here on the Ideas Network. Our phone number for your suggestions is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Rhonda Fanning will be answering phone calls on this Valentine's Day, and we'll be with you on the air momentarily. The second hour of our program, what a mammoth undertaking this was. The Dictionary of American Regional English. 50 years after it was conceived, the dictionary has reached the end of the alphabet. It was started at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It is a wonderful project, and it allows you to learn new words, and it's going to be something that you will enjoy. We'll be speaking with the chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, who's an expert on the American English language and its regional and social dialects, hour two of our program. And coming up tomorrow, during our 10 o'clock hour, News for All the People, the epic story of race and the American media. And either tomorrow or Thursday, the president is going to be at Master Lock, as you know, based here in Milwaukee, right in the central city. They have brought jobs back from China. We thought we've been wanting to look at this issue, and this is a peg for our show either tomorrow or Thursday. Are there a lot of jobs coming back from China? What would entice a company like Master Lock to move jobs back? Is this the wave of the future or a one-time thing? That will be either tomorrow or on Thursday. So we go to your phone calls. Because I didn't read a book last night, I should have started reading tomorrow's book, but instead I spent 3 hours watching the Westminster Dog Show, wanted every single dog in the place, sat with my dog Murphy, and we watched the whole thing, and we will again tonight. But it was I want all those dogs. I just want all those dogs. Let's go to phone calls. We start our calls with Boyd in Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine, Boyd. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. Well, the book that I am currently reading, I'm reading a number of them, but the one author I think would make for a really fun show is Jason Heller. That's H-E-L-L-E-R. And he's written a book that's gotten a little bit of press, Taft, 2012, and it is a very, very fun read. And I think after 100 years, William Howard Taft's time has come. and if you get the chance, they have, if you go to, you can Google it as well, there's an actual website called Taft 2012. It's a mock campaign website. It's really a lot of fun.
Great. Well, you know we love doing those presidential shows, so we'll...
That's right.
I don't think we remember much about Taft. He's the one who couldn't get out of the bathtub, right?
That's all they remember. They remember that, and that he was big, but just a little bit. I did see an online interview with the author. He was kind of a reluctant warrior. He didn't really want the job. He wanted, you know, and he did go on to be a chief justice in the Supreme Court afterwards, but he really did not want to be president, and he's sandwiched in between, you know, two very influential presidents, Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
He is probably one of the forgotten presidents of the past century. And as I said, well, now after 100 years, now maybe his time has come. So check it out.
First call, Boyd, you got a winner. We'll book it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Boyd. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Same to you. Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, Victor.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Victor.
My suggestion is the industry of gambling and sweepstakes. And I don't want the emphasis to be on addiction, but I like to see the business end of it because it's managed and run by people. Because when you see these flyers come through the mail, you know, publishing clearinghouse sweepstakes, and you know, it's enticing. I don't participate in it that much, but I just like to hear the business end of it.
All right. I never get those. Do those publishers sweep? They send stuff to your house?
Occasionally they do. But that, and I like to hear about, you know, the Powerball, the business end of it, you know, the whole gambling industry, what is entailed in it, and who run it.
All right. Well, that's a good idea. Everybody's thinking on Valentine's Day. It's good. They're creative thoughts. I would never have thought of that show, Victor. It's a good idea.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Art in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Art.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. You too,
Art. You and all of your listeners. So I would like to see if you could book the new co-director of Pastors for Peace, who we will be welcoming to Milwaukee. He'll be speaking on Ash Wednesday in the UWM Union. His name is Father Luis Barrios. He's an Episcopal priest in Harlem, Puerto Rican-born. He's written extensively on topics from turning around gangs into becoming positive social change institutions. He's a leading practitioner of liberation theology, using civil disobedience to challenge unjust policies.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, last week was the 50th anniversary of our economic blockade of Cuba, and Pastors for Peace does a travel challenge every year of hundreds of people doing civil disobedience for that. He's also an expert on our immigration policies, the effect of deportation, and he will be speaking, as I said, on Wednesday next week, challenging U.S. policies towards the people of Latin America. And I sent an email to Rhonda yesterday.
Okay.
And he's a very dynamic person dealing with both policies domestically and internationally as it affects people of Latin America.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Thank you.
We'll look at the email. Thank you, Art.
Thank you. Bye.
By Hugh in Milwaukee. Hi, Hugh.
Hi. I'll repeat two that I've already mentioned. One is The Politically Incorrect Guide to the British Empire. I've completed the book now. It's really a very good read, easy to read. On the cover, there's the thing, Three Cheers for Colonialism, which I'm sure it indicates the author's view and should rouse many calls from your listeners. The other one is one that, unfortunately, I think is getting lost. J. Christian Adams, the whistleblower from the Department of Justice, wrote Injustice, about the racism and the double standards used by the Obama Holder Justice Department. He testified before the Civil Rights Commission. And yet the liberal media and NPR and so forth does not want to even recognize this grievous refusal of this Justice Department to enforce the Voting Rights Act of 65 and so forth in a fair way for so that both blacks and whites who are discriminated against can get their vote. There was another book. Unfortunately, I can't think of the name of it now. I just saw something on TV last night, which covers something about after slavery. It covers the Reconstruction period and how, in effect, you had a continuation of slavery in many states of the South. It was through convict labor and peonage, debt labor that just and the use of sheriffs and the the owners of the big farms, shall we say, to maintain slavery into the 20th century in the United States. I'm sure PBS would have something on that. It's an interesting story. So those three are the things that I'd recommend.
All right, Hugh. Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Our number is 800-486-8655. Open line for the month of February. And a couple lines are open right now. Ellen in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi there. Just to follow up on your last caller, the name of the program and the book, which was written by a historian whose name I can't remember. The book is Slavery by Another Name.
Okay.
And that's what he was speaking about, the show that was on PBS last night.
I was watching the dog show all night long, so I missed it. that I ought
you
to be able to catch it.
You missed a good show. You know, you should have a DVR and record these things. You missed a very good show. Tonight on Frontline, there is going to be the Interrupters, and that's going to be a very good show, too.
Yes, I saw the, somebody on the news, somewhere. Oh, it was on Jon Stewart, I think, who interviewed the young woman. I thought about interviewing her. That's a good idea.
Okay, and yes, I watched Jon Stewart also. You get, and Stephen Colbert. Quite interesting fellows, aren't they?
They are. They're entertaining.
The reason I called was not only to tell you about, you know, what the name of that show was that this gentleman was trying to get across to you, but I'd like very much, very much, for you to work very hard to get Jeffrey Sachs and The Price of Civilization, Reawakening of American Virtue and Prosperity.
Yeah, we have the book. Rhonda has it on her desk, but he's very hard to book, so we will keep trying.
Oh, you know, if you want me to, I can. I'm sure he has a website somewhere. I'll try and encourage him.
All right, send him a note saying he should be on. Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ellen. Uh-huh. Bye. Lori in Mineral Point. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to see more programs geared towards small business. And when I'm talking small business, because the government talks about it all the time, but they don't touch on the sole proprietorship that maybe has two or three people and what this economy has done to those. Because I am a sole proprietor, I'm a LLC, and I've had to lay off most of my employees. And I'm just, like I said, very small. Max I ever had was two or three employees at one time. And it's been devastating for me, plus it's been devastating for them to have to lose their jobs.
Oh, I'm sure. What kind of business, Lori?
It's a bar and restaurant. And those have been really hard hit here in the state of Wisconsin. And it just, I don't think anybody thinks about us as small business because we don't have 50 or 60 people. You know, it's everybody talks about those, but there is no help for us than that. And I'm working 80 to 100 hours a week just to make a go of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to see a lot more discussion on that. And is there help for us? Is there something out there or somebody out there that's willing to help the smaller business, the Main Street business, that has either just all family working there and they've had to go out and seek second jobs or have gone on public assistance because we can't make it anymore, or, you know.
What do you think the problem is? Is that incomes are down or there are other people who are unemployed as well, so they just aren't going out very much?
I think gas prices. I don't understand why the government doesn't do something about it. If the gas companies are making record profits, it only hurts the small guy, the people out here in rural America that have to drive. We don't have public transit. So they're losing their disposable income to the gas tank because they have to go to work, and it's just horrible. I mean, it's just been devastating. I mean, I don't know if I'll be in business in another year.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, Lori, we'll see how we can tackle that. It's a large issue. Thank you. Best of luck to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Jim in Kokani. Hi.
Kewaunee,
I'm sorry. Wait, yeah, I was making up a name there,
yeah,
wasn't
okay,
I?
Okay. I can't hardly top what Lori just said about small businesses. I come from a family at a tavern and a little hotel in Wabino for 68 years.
Mm.
And then my grandparents had it for 15 before that. And I know exactly what she says. There's a small business like that don't get any help.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurting them. But I do remember my parents saying during the Depression, when people had little money, that's when they had their best bar business. So I don't know how that relates it to Lori's story, but people did drink a lot more when things were bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm calling about, I wish you'd get a show. I'm reading a book right now. We have a little book club, 3-4 of us here. And we read a couple chapters a week, and we analyze it. This by Catherine Cryer. She was a federal or a state judge from Texas, and she's a lawyer, and she's also an economist and a journalist.
Hmm.
And she book just come out. And chapter one dealt with Scott Walker, believe it of all things, and some of the stuff going on here in Wisconsin. But she is the most eloquent writer, and so she covers everything from our economy through to corporatization, corporate takeover of our government and running of our country, really, not the politicians and not the voters. And also she covers about health care, and she goes all the way back to Adams, which was helped write our capitalism or economic model here for this country. I can't remember his name. It's Adams, I know that. Anyway, he, Jefferson and all these were all in favor of his economic model, which wasn't Milton Friedman or Keynesian, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody should do a show on this book.
Okay,
this
how do you...
Catherine Cryer, you should get her, and she's
okay.
Not, and she's pretty to look at, too. She's
well,
on the cover of the book. She is such a good author.
But, Jim, this is radio. That's one of the beautiful things about radio.
I know. I never thought of that.
I know the name, and I know of her work, so we'll look that up.
What a book. It's called Patriot Acts.
All right.
I would tell all your listeners, please get that book, and it explains a lot what's going on today. It covers everything from soup to nuts to me, it seems like.
Right. Well, I think it's great that you're getting together and discussing it.
They
have a
yes.
book club. It's good.
And I call our local politicians. I'm trying to get everybody to get this book. And it just must have come out because I got it for a Christmas present.
Uh-huh.
And we're really enjoying this. We're almost through with the book. And we're just enjoying this Catherine Cryer, Patriot Acts.
All right, Jim, I think you've sold it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
Jim.
Thank you.
Jim.
Have a good day,
Thanks.
Everybody.
Happy Valentine's
yeah,
Day, Jim.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. He sold it, didn't he? Tom in Mequon. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I would like to see you do a show on unions, and I'd like to know, like, the history of unions, you know, since the 1800s, how it's affected the life of the working people in this country, mainly for the better, and the outcome of unions, say, weekends, time off, you know, 40 hours a week, overtime, many things that most people, you know, take for granted and don't even realize are a direct result of that. And
okay.
I'd like to see a discussion about that.
Okay. I'm sure there is a book that would be timely for our discussion. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. We're doing an open line for the month of February, this hour of the show, getting some really good suggestions. You're on top of your game today. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. During the 10 o'clock hour of the show today, the chief editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, the final volume of the 60,000-entry dictionary, is going to be published in just a couple weeks. I have an early copy on my desk, and it's just a massive undertaking. It was started at the University of Wisconsin-Madison many years ago, 1962, and a questionnaire covering all aspects of daily life was sent to, actually people delivered it to, field workers did, to communities all across the United States, interviewing 2,777 people over 60 years. And then they have mapped all the responses, and it's been an invaluable guide to people in many professions. You'd be amazed to hear all the professions that have benefited from the publication of these dictionaries. So, Joan Houston Hall, chief editor, will be joining us hour two of our show. Open line this hour on Valentine's Day, and our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Erin in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Erin.
Hello, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a book and a guest for you that will ease people's minds that are worried about 2012.
Okay.
It's a glorious new world we're entering, and this person, and actually his wife too, would be a great guest for you. Stan Romanek.
All right. Who's Stan?
Best-selling author of the book Messages. And now, a new book, Answers, the most documented extraterrestrial contact story, continues. They just did a thing with National Geographic. Their cameraman caught so many things that that's going to be a blockbuster when it comes out. This guy has things happen to him in front of big crowds, and it's all documented. And he's got a beautiful message. They call him Starseed. He's got nine hybrid children.
Nine hybrid children? What do you mean?
Yes. Hybrid alien humans.
Ah.
It turns out humans, human beings, have angelic DNA. We're the only race that does. And there's a shift that's going to happen, and it's going to be a glorious new world. Get the book Answers, Stan Romanek and Lisa Romanek, from my side of the bed, because one of the hybrid children is hers and his. Very fascinating. There's pictures of these beings. He writes complex mathematical physics equations with his eyes closed.
Why do you believe him?
Mainly because of that. He's on film with his eyes closed writing complex mathematical physics equations that our top physicists have a very hard time deciphering.
Uh-huh.
He wrote down the formula to make element 115 a year and a half before it was discovered. That's why I believe it.
Okay, Aaron. Well, we'll check into it. I'm a little skeptical, but we'll check into it.
Stan Romanek, he's just an average guy with an incredible story for humanity.
All right. Well, I like the idea of a glorious new world. We can take that on, right? Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Valerie in Milwaukee. Hi, Valerie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because I would really like you to do a program on the immersion schools in Milwaukee Public Schools.
Okay.
We are facing enormous budget cuts, and all of the MPS schools are, but the ones to the immersion schools are devastating. And the immersion schools have proven to be successful year after year after year. And we just feel like they really need to have some acknowledgement. On German Immersion's website, they say that the immersion schools are Milwaukee's best-kept secret, and we just don't want them to be a secret anymore.
Okay, yeah, I know many people who have gone to the immersion schools and have loved them. Send us, if you can send us some recommendations of people, that would make our job a little bit easier.
Okay.
All right, Valerie?
Sure. Great,
right,
thanks.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
And let's go to Andre in Green Bay. Hi, Andre.
How you doing this morning, Kathleen?
All right, Andre, how are you?
Oh, I'm not drawn to that. I would like to hear a topic about how the American people are influenced and persuaded by the one percenters in America. They don't like them, which brought about the Occupy Wall Street. They're mad at them, but yet and still, they're influenced by their words to constantly and continuously vote them into government positions, which give them power over us to constantly make decisions that will only affect us and bring them more profits. Because you've got them, most of them, get into Congress, the House, the Senate, and most of them aren't millionaires when they get there. But when they leave, they're instant millionaires, and I want to know how it's possible that a politician cannot be a millionaire when he gets into politics, but then by the time he retires from politics, he becomes a millionaire, but none of the American people are becoming millionaires like they do.
Well, I think a lot of them are millionaires before they enter. Certainly the members of the Senate are, Andre.
Well, most of them that I've heard about are not millionaires, and why do we keep voting them into positions of power over us when we're so upset over the things that they're doing to us?
Okay, so
we keep voting them in. What happened to the average Joe running for a position?
Well, I think you've got a good point. What happened to the average Joe running for a position? It's really hard to do it. It's so much money, right?
Exactly. It takes money. And they've made it to where it does take a lot of money so that nobody of average income could even get into a race again with a glass.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system has been geared toward a silver to into and with.
Okay, Andre, thank you very much. Your phone is cutting in and out, but I got your message, and thank you very much for your suggestion. Let's go next to Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi. What a wonderful show. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I think it would be great if you had a show on the National Movement on Amendments to Reverse Citizens United, the Citizens United decision that said corporations are people and money is speech. There are six amendments in the federal legislature now on that, and it would be nice to have comparisons and the history of the national movement to amend the Constitution, how, you know, some of the amendments would actually change the power structure so that corporations don't have so much sway over everything versus some of them just doing campaign finance reform.
Yeah, we've in discussion of other topics this has been mentioned, certainly what's going on in various states, but it's probably worth a show of its own. It's a good idea.
Yeah, there's somebody in Madison I could get you in touch with who is one of the founders of one of the organizations.
All right. Can you send us a message?
Sure. Email?
Sure. You can send it to Rhonda and me, just do to both of us. Hers is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, and mine's Dunk at WPR.org.
D-U-N-N-K?
Uh-huh. And Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do that.
All right, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Gabriel in Milwaukee. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
My idea for a show is I would like to talk about, there's been a lot of talk about fraud involved in the housing bubble and irresponsible people getting bad mortgages, but what I'd like to talk about is the people who have been affected by both sides of it that didn't really do anything wrong and how it's affecting their ability to save for their retirement, having a home that's underwater, really through no fault of their own, just because housing prices have dropped so much.
Okay.
I think that'd be a really good show, because I think there's a lot of people out there who are in that situation. Because especially for the middle class and for working people, their ability to have net worth and to save for retirement is oftentimes tied up in their home. I know
yes.
when my grandmother was ready to move in a nursing home, the only way we were really able to do it was the fact that we could sell her home and be able to finance that move.
Right, and if the home isn't worth very much, what do you do next?
Also, if you owe half of what your mortgage is worth still to the bank,
right,
and you can't sell the home, you're in really bad position. I mean, that's what the position my wife and I are in now, and it's not through any fault of our own.
Mm-hmm.
We can make our mortgage payments, but our home is no longer worth what we pay for it, and we're just in a bad position.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And so many people are. It doesn't make it any better, but it's
right.
It's too bad.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. We haven't really taken on the issue in a show all by itself, so we'll do that. Thank you, Gabriel.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Rich in Rhinelander. Happy Valentine's Day, Rich.
Happy Valentine's Day. Say I'm in a lot of book groups up here and also in southern Wisconsin, and we're reading a book by Linda Lawrence Hunt up here, Bold Spirit, Helga Espy's Forgotten Walk Across America. And it's about a Norwegian-American woman who takes on a challenge from the East Coast fashion industry. Her family is about to lose their farm in Oregon, and so she agrees to walk across America. It's a true story.
Mm.
The sponsors required her to advertise a kind of skirt when she got to Salt Lake City, the reform costume, a bicycle skirt. And she and her daughter take off across America, and I'm just in the process of reading it now, but it's really, really fascinating, and it sort of fits in with the theme of how people come to the challenge during desperate times, such as the ones many families are now living in. And then the other suggestion is the last chapters of Margaret Atwood's Payback, Debt, and the Shadow Side of Wealth, where she gives her rendition of if Charles Dickens were alive today, how he would revise a Christmas carol and what the ghosts of Christmases past, present, and future would have to say to a nouveau Scrooge. I think the audience would get a real kick out of
it. Oh, I think so, too. Yes, wonderful. And Linda's book is Bold Spirit, Rich?
Bold Spirit. Helga Espy's Forgotten Walk Across Victorian America.
Okay.
And there's a beautiful picture of her on the paperback cover. I mean, she just has these wonderful, piercing eyes that are just filled with determination.
Mm.
So I thought you might be interested in
that. Yeah, we are. Thank you, Rich.
Bye.
800-486-8655. Alan Waukesha. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Al.
You for a long time. The reason I'm calling, two reasons. The most important reason is a few weeks ago, Ben Marins had, I believe, had a program about the mining up in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a retired steel worker, safety officer. I worked in foundries for 40-some years, and I'd like you to contact somebody from this Health and Safety Department of United Steelworkers of America. They have an office up in Milwaukee somewhere. And I talked to one of their health safety people. They can tell you about how dangerous silica sand is. It takes about 15 to 20 years, but I've seen lots and lots of my friends die horrible deaths from working in foundries and breathing in that silica dust. And that's what they're going to have up there in about 15, 20 years. By then, the companies will be getting ready to move out, and they won't give a darn. There won't be anybody to pay for all those medical benefits. So I think you can get the other side of the coin. They're saying there's nothing wrong with this sand, and if you talk to people who live in the areas where they're already doing sand mining, you'll find that their homes are covered with the dust, and the dust gets in through the windowsills and all this kind of stuff. It's very dangerous, but it just takes a long time to kill you. But it's not a comfortable death. I've unfortunately lost a lot of friends to this silica lung cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that, Al.
So I'd like to see somebody refute what they keep saying about how benign this sand mining is. It's not benign. They do it in a very dangerous way to maximize profits. The other little thing I wanted to mention was somebody called up and asked about the small business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife always worked for small businesses, and I work for large businesses. The companies that have up to 500 employees are what government calls small business, and that's a whole different genre than what my wife worked for. Everyone she worked for treated her very excellently, better than I ever got treated working for big companies. That's the difference. The government thinks 500 employees are small business. That's who they aim at. The small business, like this lady is talking about, they get left behind by everybody. Wish I could help her more, but that's one of the reasons that she's not getting any help, because they like to see 300, 400, 500 employees before they consider aiming any resources at them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Al. We'll follow through on the mining issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Barb in Menominee. Hi, Barb.
Hello. I'm suggesting human rights attorney Bill Quigley. He's a law professor at Loyola University in New Orleans. And I'm familiar with him from the School of the Americas movement. He's there every year to help people with legal questions when they're at the School of the Americas. But more recently, he's been in Haiti. And I know that on Oprah's channel, she has talked with Donna Karen and Sean Penn and sees all the good work they're doing. And yes, they are doing good work, but there's a lot that isn't happening. And I think that Bill Quigley could give you an honest a representation of what he saw when he was in Haiti. And he does volunteer for the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti and another advocate group in Port-au-Prince.
Okay.
So I think he would be good, particularly talking about Haiti and giving and telling where the money went and where it didn't go and how a lot of it came back here to the United States, money that we pledged.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would really, he would be a good guest. His second expertise would be talking about for-profit prisons and where they lock up immigrants and all our tax money going to pay for the care or lack of care that they get in those, the immigrants get in the institutions. So Bill Quigley from Loyola.
Bill Quigley. All right. Thank you, Barb.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Jean in Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Happy Valentine's.
Thanks, Jean. You too.
Thanks. A couple of things. I sent an email in a while ago about this, but I thought it was a really fascinating article in Vanity Fair. Let's see, October, I think, of November of 2011. The title of the article is called Debt and Dumb. It previews a book by Simon Johnson, and it's about a young Alexander Hamilton learning the crucial lesson that good credit based on the power to tax is essential to a nation's security. I wonder if the debt is going to be a focus in the general election coming up, regardless of which person the Republicans come up with. I thought it was a fascinating article about Hamilton's realization that we need to be able to raise funds in order to fight the Revolutionary War. So mm-hmm. that was really good.
Okay.
I also had an idea. A previous caller mentioned unions, and I kind of liked Walker's quote at the CPAC this past weekend that collective bargaining is an expensive entitlement, was his direct words. I wonder if, focusing on Governor Walker, I just wonder how much time he spent out of the state fundraising to add to his millions that he already has for the recall. I don't know if Center for Media and Democracy could help us with that, or if any there's other reporters that might be focusing on that.
All right, Jean.
So those were my two.
All right, Jean. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Joelle in Madison. Hi.
Hi there. I am suggesting Donald Miller as a guest for you. He wrote Blue Like Jazz, and that was his memoir. And then after that, he wrote A Million Miles, A Thousand Years, What I Learned Editing My Life. Blue Like Jazz is going to be a movie this year.
Mm.
And I just learned a lot from both of those books. And then he's also partnering with Obama for a mentoring project. He wrote a book called Father Fiction, which kind of talks to his own father process.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's from Portland. And there's you can start your own mentoring project for your community. So anyway, I just think he would be really interesting.
He sounds very interesting, Joelle. Great. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Robert in Two Rivers. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning.
Hi, Robert.
Thank you for a great job you do on your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to let you know that with the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination coming up next year, we have one of the top scholars, researcher, Dr. David Rohn from Stevens Point. He was a professor, history professor at UW-Stevens Point. And he wrote a book called The Zapruder Film, and it was basically a frame-by-frame analysis. Just one of the many researchers that have determined pretty much that that Lee Harvey Oswald was probably not even carrying a gun or shooting at all on November 22nd of 63. And the House Select Committee on Assassinations in the late 70s, actually their position is that there was a conspiracy that took place, and he was not a lone nut assassin after all. But he's right in our state. I thought he might be interesting to talk to at some point, as he really comprehensively reviewed every frame of this the film that Abraham Zapruder put together. And just thought that would be interesting to enlighten people, because the history books still have Lee Harvey Oswald in the books as a lone nut assassin, and I know from the research I've done that's not at all the case.
All right. What is his name, Dr. David what?
Dr. David Rohn. It's W-R-O-N-E.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could send you a number if you're interested.
Oh, we can look it up. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. We're doing an open line for the month of February on this Valentine's Day. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program, the editor of the Dictionary of American Regional English, Volume 5, has well, it's going to be available to the public in just a couple weeks. This is a huge undertaking. It's been going on since 1962 with efforts begun at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We'll talk about all the uses of it and the great variety in regional speech the second hour of the show with the chief editor of the dictionary. All right, let's go back to phone calls. We're doing an open line. Let me give you our email addresses again in case you can't get through today or your brilliant thought doesn't strike you until we're off the air. Rhonda recommends that I use the listener suggestion link, I'm reading as she's writing this, on the website. And that is the Kathleen Dunn Show at wpr.org/ Kathleen Dunn. Thank you, Rhonda. That's the one that she would prefer that you use, okay? So you go to wpr.org/ Kathleen Dunn, and then it's easier for you, for us to get the form, to get the information. So that's the way to go. Next phone call is Mary in Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I want to suggest a book that is really good. It's called What Do You Leave Behind?
Mary, I can hardly hear you. Can you get a little closer to the phone?
All right. Yeah. The book I'm recommending is by Derek Jensen. It's called What We Leave Behind.
Okay.
It's about how we, what we do with our garbage and how ordinary people can think more consciously about what they do with their garbage. And the reason I'm suggesting it, too, is because I like Waukegan to get tall, blue, recycling garbage cans. We just use little boxes. And I think in a community like 90,000 people, we could go to larger recycling garbage cans. I think that's really important. But you've got a wonderful show. Thank you so much. And that's my suggestion.
All right. Derek Jensen, What We Leave Behind. That's a good idea for a show. Thanks, Mary. It's been a good open line. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, last summer there was a comprehensive study released by Brown University called The Costs of War. And it seems to have barely made a blip on the national media. And it details the number of civilians killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, our soldiers, hundreds of thousands of wounded, and I think between $3 to $4 trillion spent. And it just seems to me that that's a topic that deserves a lot greater coverage than it's gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't give you a name, but if you Google on it in Brown University, it'll come up.
Okay.
And one of the researchers might be a great guest.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, Steve.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Mark in Richland Center. Hi.
Good morning. I've recently found out that the Chicago Teachers Union is also backing Dennis Kucinich's bill HR 2990, the NEED Act, which would give us full employment and no debt. He was instructed by Stephen Zarlenga, whose 850-page book The Lost Science of Money can be found at his website monetary.org. Zarlenga has had some press with the Huffington Post in evaluating the way economists have made mistakes in the very definition of money, and that's why we're in such a mess. So I would recommend that we either have Dennis Kucinich and the Chicago Teachers Union representatives that are backing his bill, or Stephen Zarlenga directly from the American Monetary Institute at monetary.org.
Okay.
Talk to us about money itself. What is money?
Okay. We had Dennis Kucinich on a long time ago. It's been a while.
Time he comes back.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye. Cal in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. I would really like to see a program on the sustainable earth ships that from the architect Michael Reynolds, and it's this movement down in Taos, New Mexico, using recycled materials and basically a sustainable alternative to our numerous landfills.
Okay, the architect's name is what?
Michael Reynolds.
Michael Reynolds.
Yep, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S.
Okay. Okay, Cal.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Ken in Milwaukee, hello.
Hi. I have two suggestions, please. One, I don't know if you talked about this when you had the series of healthcare programs that you had, but did anybody talk about why big business, I mean large manufacturers, have not gotten behind healthcare reform?
I'm not sure that was brought up or not.
Because it would seem to me that they would really want to be behind this. Large manufacturers such as
right.
the auto industry have been screaming that their legacy costs, their healthcare costs, are what's putting them behind.
Right.
And it would seem like a natural. And I'm very curious as to why this is not being done.
Well, actually, I misspoke. As I think about it, we did a lot of shows on healthcare when we were talking about it. We did have people from business. We had pretty much agreement across the board that something had to be done, and big business was concerned about the rising cost of their part of the equation here, and yeah, I don't know whatever happened to that general consensus, but yes, we did have shows on that.
It seems like they're very quiet about it. I mean, it's just very, yeah, they want reform, but okay, fine. That's it.
Yeah, we just keep debating this issue, don't we, year after year after year after year.
The other issue that I would love to hear discussed, and ideally I'd love to have you have the Secretary of Energy on, as to how we can advance a true alternative to petroleum in involving all facets of the equation, from the oil companies, because they have the distribution outlets, to scientists, to government, and making what really Mike Huckabee was the only one who ever said anything like this, a Manhattan Project for an alternative, a real alternative to petroleum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Ken, thank you.
Thank you.
We go to Ken in Milwaukee. Didn't we just have a Ken in Milwaukee? We have another Ken in Milwaukee. Hi, Ken.
Just a coincidence.
Isn't it, though?
Kathleen, Ben and yourself and Joy have had post office subjects, and I'd like to present it from the standpoint of this guest. It's a professor out of New York University from Gatlin School. He's a literature professor. And his website is savethepostoffice.com. And the professor's name is Steve Hutkins, Hutkins. And in the past, when either of the WPR hosts have had somebody on regarding the post office, it's always been from what I would call a corporate or big business standpoint, and harps on things like, well, 80% of the cost is the labor. And this gentleman, this professor, kind of, shall we say, brings it in from, I would say, many different aspects. And so it was just a suggestion I wanted to make for a program, whether it's taken on by yourself or someone else at WPR. That's
all right.
Your choice. But
okay, Ken.
Wanted to make that suggestion because the president's proposed eliminating Saturday delivery in his budget.
Right.
The Senate hasn't passed the budget in a couple of years, so when it comes to budgets, you don't know what's going to be affected, and I don't know if the post office is going to be affected, and I think that affects everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ken, good idea. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Phil in Crystal Lake. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to suggest a topic for the upcoming election, which would be the security of the electronic computerized voting machines that we use now, whether or not they can be programmed in a way that would sway a close election. I think in Germany they've stopped using those machines because they aren't trusting them. And the programming information is also considered proprietary, which means that the company that produces the machine won't share its mechanisms and systems with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's kind of a scary scenario for an upcoming election that could be quite close.
Okay, so
maybe there's nothing wrong with them, but from what I've heard, there are some questions about them.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Joe in Eau Claire, hi.
Yeah, hi. I guess I just had one suggestion. It'd be nice to hear from that Lori Compass who did the recall on Scott Fitzgerald. I was just kind of curious. I think it was kind of pretty much all grassroots. She did it from her kitchen and didn't really have any help getting the signatures, you know, how much work she had to go through to do it. And that's kind of all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. And quickly, Matt in Lake Geneva. Hi.
Yes, back in the mid-90s, the Capital Times newspaper did an article on the militarization of America's police forces. At the time, they were worried about the kind of equipment, military-style equipment, more and more heavy-duty firearms and these armored vehicles and stuff like that. Well, that has only proceeded apace. I mean, it's much, much worse now.
Do you have a guest suggestion, Matt? We're out of time almost.
Radley Balco from the Cato Institute. Radley Balco.
Radley Balco. All right. Thanks, Matt. Radley Balco. Got to write this down from Cato. Thanks, everybody. I think it was a very productive open line. We have some very interesting suggestions, and we'll follow through, I'm sure, on many of them. Again, if you didn't get through, go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn, and we'll get your suggestions if you go that route. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the show and taking your very many phone calls. We have news coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return and have a great show about regional English. Stay with us.